The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast with Dave Kellner and Lee Phelps here in the studio this morning. And we are joined by the godfather of betting. He's back.
Self-titled.
Of course. You know what? I know. You remember that the film The Godfather? I know how Al Pacino feels now. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Derek, we've had. I've literally had tweets asking for you to come back.
That's plural as well.
Yeah,
Derek.
Tweets. I'm going to read some of them out. When is The Godfather of Betting back? Someone else using it. I miss Derek McGovern's rants. Derek would love getting stuck into Man U this season. I miss him. Please get Derek back soon. Where is the Scouser? Anyway.
Signed, Alex Ferguson.
That last one was from Lee.
you know, you get rid of me when Man United are playing like Swans at Stoke or somebody, and Balotelli signs for Liverpool. Oh, my bet noir.
I think the thinking was that you'd done your job with Man U.
Yes,
so
exactly.
There was no more you could do, really.
That's it.
I'm back anyway. Back to haunt you. I always thought there were only two things you couldn't get out of: death and a book club. Now there's the Hills podcast number three.
We start off this week, chaps, with Liverpool, Derek. Liverpool 9-4. You're still a Liverpool fan, Derek?
Just about.
Liverpool 9-4. The draw 12-5. Chelsea 23-20. Saturday 12:45 PM kickoff. Let's talk about Liverpool, Derek. Went to Real Madrid midweek. Brendan Rodgers decided to either rest or drop the majority of his first team, whichever way you want to look at that. What's going on there? They qualify for Europe to play a weakened team against one of the best teams in the world to have a chance to qualify for Europe again next season.
Yeah, it does seem a bit daft, but I think Rodgers has played it very cleverly. I think they were dropped. I don't think they were rested. And why shouldn't they have been? Because they've been appalling all season, apart from one glimmer of hope against Tottenham. These players that he rested on in midweek, they were the same players who played them against Real Madrid at Anfield and were absolutely marmalised. So will we expect them to do any better at the Bernabeu? Why shouldn't they have been dropped? They haven't been doing the job. I think Rodgers has played it really cutely. What now? It'd be interesting now to see what happens, who he chooses against Chelsea. Because, there's some of those players who played on Wednesday night. They've done enough to merit a place in the starting lineup. I mean, I tell you, this is how things have got for Liverpool now. I look at Liverpool team sheet, and if Balotelli's playing, I oppose them. If he's not playing, that's how bad he is. I mean, he was apparently in midweek, he was furious about being put on the bench. He said he gets more rest when he's playing. He's just the guy. I noticed Joey Barton a few weeks ago was saying that great sage Joey Barton was saying Balotelli the biggest myth in football, and he is spot on. He is the biggest myth in football. I've never seen him at any club do anything that's made me think there's a player. I can't believe he gets in the Italian team. I can't believe he gets in the Liverpool team.
When he first went to Milan, he had like a spell. I think he scored 13 in 11. But that is the only time in his entire career that he's ever scored more than 1 in 2? And 1 in 2 is good going for him, isn't it?
He never looks like scoring, That's the thing. He wears the look during a match of a man who has something better to do. Unfortunately, he's never managed it. Honestly, if he's playing against Chelsea, Liverpool are down to 10. He's a passenger. That's what he was asked this week. What's your favourite position? He said the window seat. I think Chelsea will win anyway. Right. I think Chelsea had a great bet. Just over 11 to 10, I think you said they were, Dave, didn't you?
23 to 20.
Yeah, 11 to 10 in old money. And I think the certainty is, if Balotelli is playing, I'll double my bet on them, because I just can't see how you can raise a case for Liverpool in this game.
Chelsea 4 points clear at the top, Lee. They did the double over Liverpool last season as well. You can see where Derek's coming from there. Chelsea 23-20 could be a good bet. And interesting to see if Rodgers does have the courage of the conviction he had midweek, dropping those players. Do they immediately get back in the side for this encounter?
Well, I think not. I mean, I don't think Brendan Rodgers knows his best team, does he? I think it's quite clear to everyone. And now he's giving himself like a double headache, because he's played his best team in midweek, it looks like, at Real Madrid. So it'll be interesting to see what he does going into this. Interesting. I mean, he kind of came out and said Gerrard had an injury after all that, didn't he? Which is, I think maybe he's backtracking a little bit. There's been a lot of question marks over Gerrard's continuing fitness and his future at the club. I don't think it matters what team he plays, though, against Chelsea. I completely agree with Derek. You know, I was mad keen on them at odds against Man U. Obviously, that didn't work out. And I think this is an equally good bet for them to beat Liverpool. They beat Liverpool when they weren't completely at it last season, and now they are. Plus the fact they've gone away to Maribor, and he was obviously a bit disgruntled about the performance there. They kind of took it quite easy. The one thing you'd say about Chelsea is that watching them against Shrewsbury when they won 2-1, watching them against QPR when they also won 2-1, it took for the opposition to score an equaliser or score a goal in the QPR game for them to get going. They have got other gears to go through. Same with Maribor. I think they should have won that game. They had loads of chances near the end to win the game. I don't think we'll see that from Chelsea against Liverpool. I think they'll be straight at it from minute one. So I can see them winning 2-0, to be perfectly honest. You look at Liverpool's home form. The cup went over Swansea and left it very, very late. And Swansea really chucked that away, you know, with a 1-0 lead until the 86th minute. Didn't score against Hull at home. Obviously didn't score against Real Madrid. Scored two against West Brom, but it was Lallana and Henderson. Gerrard scored the goal against Everton in the 1-1 draw at home. Obviously the game against Ludogorets, it was very late again, which Balotelli and Gerrard. But what I'm trying to get at here, there's no strikers scoring goals.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Chelsea will have problems, you know, defending against midfielders breaking through them, because they're so good defensively with Matic sitting in front. So, you know, without Sturridge in top form, this Liverpool team just won't score enough goals. So Chelsea to win 2-0.
11-4, Chelsea to win 2-0. Quick word on Steven Gerrard, Derek. Obviously, sentiment's going to play its part when you're thinking about a new contract. Do you think he should get another year at Liverpool?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, he hasn't been firing this season, but I mean, last season he was outstanding. And you know what? It's hard to raise a game when you're playing with 10 players who are underperforming alongside you. Yeah, of course. He's only what, 34. Easy going another couple of seasons, definitely. I mean, he's been, in my eyes, he's been the best player Liverpool have ever had. It used to be John Barnes, but I think it's Steven Gerrard now. And, yeah, even if one season, two seasons, well, I would give him as long as he wants, to be honest. Mm-hmm. That's how much he's done for Liverpool.
Yeah, why not? I thought it was strange, that story coming out last week about him potentially not getting a contract. You just give him a contract. Well, even exactly. If he's just coming on like Ryan Giggs did, you know, for certain games,
yeah,
then
yeah.
He should never leave Liverpool, should he?
No, without he won't anyway. I mean, it's just basically some agent talk, isn't it, to get him a few bob extra?
Yeah, fair enough.
Late televised game on Saturday night is QPR versus Manchester City. QPR 13-2, the draw 7-2. Manchester City in the betting at 2-5. QPR lead 19th in the league, 7 points from their opening 10 matches. Performed gallantly but still lost 2-1 at Stamford Bridge last weekend. Maybe never a better time to get Manchester City at home in the league though, Lee. Those attractive quotes for Manuel Pellegrini to be sacked, they're all gone. 66-1 into 8-1 in the space of a couple of weeks. And things have turned sour quickly for Manchester City.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? I just don't think... I think that the owners obviously want Champions League football, and obviously the manager and players the players might not want to, but the fans aren't bothered. You know, speak to City fans and they'd rather win the Premier League again than go. You can see that in the crowd. I mean, I think they sold out this week, but only because they put on loads of 2-for-1 offers. There's no atmosphere in the Champions League games, but this is a bit different. You know, that they are flat track bullies, aren't they, Man City? And they usually go to places like this and win. But the price, I mean, 2-5. For a team who the manager says are in a crisis of confidence against a QPR team who suddenly have got themselves fit, hurrah, at last, and have seemed to be at it a bit more. It's a bit of a stretch going for QPR to win at 13-2. If anyone fancies QPR winning, there's only one bet you could really have, I think, and that's Charlie Austin to score and QPR to win at 16s. Because no one else is going to score the goals for them to win, I don't think. He scored in the game against Chelsea, 2 against Villa, of course, as well. If you're looking at that, I was looking at QPR plus 2 goals. It's 6-10. It's too short for me. I don't even know if I can quite go as far as going QPR plus a goal. I do think they can score though, so I'm going to stick with City against my better judgment and go for City to win, but both teams to score in the match. I think Vargas is due a goal as well. He's been playing really well recently. So, yeah, both teams are scoring. City to win 15-8. I'll take that.
Derek, what do you reckon about Manuel Pellegrini? Because he was brought into this job to achieve success in Europe, and it's not been forthcoming. Mancini was sacked. Admittedly, they'd gone through a poor, barren spell when he was dismissed. But Pellegrini's got to be, he's got to be just clinging on at the moment.
Well, yeah, you said all the attractive prices have gone. Well, I still think 8-1 is an attractive price. I really do. The two ahead of him in the betting with Hills are Harry Redknapp and Paul Lambert. And I think probably they've done just about enough in well, certainly Redknapp has in recent weeks to cling on. I think Pellegrini will go because City are getting worse. I mean, you know, the day after Manchester decided to elect a mayor this week, City decided to have one because that was an absolute shocker of a performance against Moscow. And I thought, when was the last time you can say City have really played well? I can't think of it. The players seem to like the manager. It seems, although when you read interviews in the paper, there's no sign of them sort of being mutinous. But I don't know what it is. You look at them and I can't see them winning the game at the moment now. And I'm almost tempted to go for QPR. I know Lee couldn't bring himself to go for them. But there's a QPR side, I think, on the up, and City on the slide. And you're getting 13-2 by the home team. I fancy them, you know. I fancy QPR in this one. I'm going to oppose City because 2-5. There'll be a lot of. I'll be having about 10 better 2-5 shots on Saturday. They'll all lose, like. they'll all be better than Manchester City.
Well, you look at I was looking at that price compared to like Chelsea at Liverpool. I'm not saying QPR are in the same league as maybe Liverpool, but maybe they are actually at the minute. But yeah. You know, Chelsea are 13-10 at Liverpool, 6-5 Arsenal at Swansea, which we'll come on to in a bit. You know, I can't see why City should be 2-5. They've gone 1-2 now, actually, haven't they? Just gone 1-2.
Yeah, all these prices seem to change just as we're doing the podcast.
Yeah,
I think
they listen and check it. I mean, 1-2 is obviously more attractive than 2-5. To be fair, you know, they're going to the team who, you know, suddenly they're going to a team in the bottom three and they're in the top three. But yeah, they'll probably just get it done though, won't they? You know what I mean?
You know that, you know what, City, they've never won a Champions League match, City, the season after winning the league. I mean, that tells you something, doesn't it? I've no idea what, but it tells you something. I mean, why is that? Do they just rest on their laurels? You know, when they win the league, and they go, yeah, we've done the hard work now, and then we'll rest for the season. I mean, there's previous there, isn't there, a couple of seasons ago.
It's strange.
That was a shocker against CSKA Moscow as well, wasn't it? I mean, that was just a terrible, terrible performance, and... If they lose at QPR on Saturday evening, it's just who do you get in, Derek? I suppose if you want to sack him right now, there's not many big managers available, is there?
Well, no. I mean, David Moyes.
David Moyes. Yeah.
They won't sack him now. They'll wait till at least the end of the Champions League group stage. I mean, you know, Bayern Munich have qualified and they will win the group. They could rest players. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that they somehow get a result there, and then it's all in the game in Rome, isn't it? So, you know, they can't sack him yet.
Yeah, but by the same token, that last game against Bayern Munich, they might rest players there again and Roma could get a result, couldn't they, I think?
No, Roma are playing Man City.
In the last game.
Yeah, they're playing CSKA Moscow next. So okay. if Man City beat Bayern Munich, which is a big if, I admit that, but if they do it, and they've had decent results against Bayern Munich in the past few seasons, then it's all on the Rome game. Okay. In Rome, so yeah.
So you fancy QPR here, Derek?
Yeah, I'm going to go for QPR. I think City are a team to oppose. I mean, if they could make me look stupid because they could turn it on and win 6 or 7-0, but you're taking a lot on trust to expect that from this City team right now. I mean, even they played against Man United, who everybody's beaten last week, and they were scared stiff, 1-0 up against 10 men, and they were scared stiff for the last 20 minutes. Something is seriously wrong
there. To be fair, they should have had 16 penalties in that match, and Man United could have had 14 players sent off as well, I think. So, but you want. One other thing about this is that it probably will be high scoring. Just looking at the stats, City are right up there in terms of the shots in the game and shots on target, top of the table away from home. And we've been saying this all season, even when QPR were crap, they were still having lots of shots on goal. It's just that none of them were going in. But now they're about, I think they're eighth in the table of shots. You know, the likes of City and United and Arsenal, Chelsea above them and Southampton above them. So could be a high scorer as well.
Over 3.5 goals there is 6-4. Let's have a look at Sunday's televised matches, starting with West Brom Newcastle, 1:30 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. West Brom 13-10. The draw 21-10. Newcastle 20 3-10. A headline offer that could be of interest here. Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win is in the betting at 3-1. They got the first win since September last Saturday. West Brom went to Leicester and won 1-0. They've now got 13 points from their opening 10 matches and hosting a resurgent Newcastle side here. Newcastle all of a sudden, Derek, where they should be in the league really, mid-table, ensconced in mid-table. They've won four straight and will fancy probably making it five against West Brom.
But, you know, they got the plaudits for beating Liverpool last week, but I watched that game and I thought they had two rank bad sides. I thought, you know, Newcastle rode their luck. I didn't see anything there that makes me think they can go to West Brom, an improving West Brom side, and win, especially at these odds. I'm not having Newcastle. I think this is a false dawn for them. I know I can't explain four wins on the bounce. It's hard to do that in the top flight or be one of them in the Capital Cup. But no, I'm going for West Brom here. I think, looking at the two squads, West Brom have got a better squad. They're at home and they're comfortably odds against. Baggies for me.
It's weird how football works sometimes as well, Derek, because just 6 weeks ago, everyone's calling for, or all the Newcastle fans calling for Alan Pardew's head, and now he's vying for manager of the month. It's just a regression to the mean, isn't it, for Newcastle, really? They're just getting to where they probably should be in the league now.
Well, they're not going to go any further because they've got an owner that doesn't seem to want to take them any further. It seems to me, this is what Newcastle fans level at him, that he's just happy to take money out the club and use it as an advertising brand for his other businesses. If I was a Newcastle fan, I'd be well fed up, irrespective of four straight wins, and most of them are. Most of the ones I've met are fed up. West Brom, I don't know. West Brom are a funny side to catch, right? Aren't they? It's difficult. It's not an easy game to call it, I have to say, because I can understand why people would go for Newcastle. But I think I've seen more from West Brom in the glimmers I've seen of them this season than I've seen from Newcastle, even in this run of four wins. So it's got to be Baggies for me.
West Brom at 13-10 for Derek. I think what Mike Ashley wants is a team further north, doesn't he? Yeah. He wants to take cash out of a team further north.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about the result here. None of the three would surprise me, if I'm being entirely honest. They're locked together on 13 points on the table. The stats look very similar. Newcastle have obviously got the confidence behind them. But then you look at West Brom's home form. All right, they lost to Everton, of course, 2-0. But that's the only defeat at home so far. A 2-2 draw with United, 2-2 draw with Palace, beat Burnley and beat Hull. There's not a lot there, admittedly. Newcastle are a strange side in that When you look at the possession stats, they just give away possession. You know, in the home game against Liverpool, Liverpool had much more possession than they did. I think it was they had nearly 60% possession, Liverpool, and that's at Newcastle. They gave it the same at Swansea. Obviously, didn't have as much possession as Swansea. It was very close in the home game against Leicester. So what they like to do is just sit back and then hit you on the break and hope the strikers pop the goals away. And I think that's how you explain the run that they've been on. The strikers have been scoring goals, or they have been scoring goals. I don't think I'd ever think I'd say this sentence in my life, but they're going to miss Obertan this weekend.
You know, funny enough, Lee, I've been amazed by him.
Incredible, isn't it?
The form when he's been shown, he came on a sub against somebody a few weeks ago. It might have been, was it Man United? I can't remember. And I thought, cheers, where's he come from?
Yeah.
And then since then, he's been fantastic.
Yeah, and he's out, unfortunately, for them. He picked up an injury in the last game. That's so right, that could be a big blow for them, because it won't take much to just knock them off stride, I don't think, here in Newcastle. I kind of agree with Derek on that. Cisse's a doubt as well. Williamson's a doubt. I mean, Taylor's been good since he's come back. I'm giving the outrights a swerve. There's two bets I like in this. Over 2.5 goals at even money. And Newcastle have been good defensively, but that won't last forever. You look at West Brom's home games, 2-2, 2-2, 4-0, 3-2, 2-0. So I think over 2.5. But you mentioned Berahino as a headline offer. I just like him to score a goal. He's the highest scoring Englishman in the Premier League. When West Brom have scored at home, i.e. every game apart from Everton, he's been on the score sheet.
Yep.
He's a real home bird as far as the goals go. Obviously just got his England call up as well, so he'll be playing above the ground, as Big Ron used to say, etc, etc. 13-10.
11-8. 11-8 now for Berahino to score any time on a Sunday afternoon. Let's have a look at Swansea. They take on Arsenal at 4 p.m. Swansea 5-2, the draw 21-10. Arsenal in the betting at 6-5.
Anyone who didn't, who never used to listen to the podcast, who just started listening this season, it'd be curious, but it may have happened. Derek's a massive fan of Arsenal. Let's get that in first. And I know he would have been really upset at them throwing away a 3-0 lead in the Champions League in midweek.
That was
something. I wonder whether that's been overplayed, Lee, a little bit, because it was embarrassing.
Derek's like it.
No, I think that's been underplayed, if anything. But it was embarrassing. But in terms of qualification, doesn't really make that much difference.
Prior to, they want to win the group.
Yeah, but they weren't going to win the group, were they?
Maybe not.
They had
Borussia Dortmund at home.
Yeah.
I take your point, though. You're right. Yeah.
Prior to that, they had won consecutive Premier League games to nil. But that was embarrassingly.
Oh, I mean, how does it happen? It just once again tells everyone what we already know. They're naive to the extreme, and they haven't got any leaders or any backbone. You know, I just don't know how that happens. Why is Wenger not shouting at them to stop running up the pitch?
Yeah.
You know, even if you're playing in the Sunday League, you know, or whatever, if you're 3-0 up and suddenly you start to get the feeling that they're coming back into it, you just get behind the ball, don't you?
Absolutely.
Do everything you can to stop them. Yeah, but having said all that, I've been wrong about Swansea the last three times I've mentioned them in a bet. I can't quite call them right. I thought they were. I thought they'd lose the time before last in the Premier League. They didn't against Leicester. I thought they'd beat Liverpool. I went for the +1 against Liverpool in the cup. Obviously, that didn't happen. And then I thought Everton would beat them. That didn't happen either. So I'll.
It's been going well on the punt this season, Derek.
Some things never change. Eh?
I'll put that up. I'll say that first of all, but Arsenal are the classic flat-track bully. Very rare that they go away to a team like Swansea and don't win the game. They just find a way of getting it done. And I think there will be a reaction from Arsenal. You get in Arsenal, whatever you think of them, at 6-5 to go to Swansea. Swansea, who they're not as good as everyone thinks they are. Look at the form. It's not that good. You know, one win against Leicester, who are in free fall in the last six matches. It's, you know, they're not pulling up trees, Swansea, by any stretch of the imagination. The way they play plays into Arsenal's hands as well. I think it's a great price, 6-5, for Arsenal to win. I wouldn't be backing them at odds on, but because it's odds against, I like it. And Sanchez is the new Luis Suarez, according to Wenger, so why not back him to score? And the headline offers him to score and Arsenal to win at 5-2.
Derek, surely you're going to be taking him on here.
No, I'm not. Unbelievably. I agree with every word Lee says there, but it doesn't alter my opinion. Bring back Ron. I think Arsenal will win. I think Swansea are Arsenal light. The Gunners have been there the last two seasons when Swansea were arguably playing better and won both times. They owe their fans one after what happened against Anderlecht. Let's not forget that he went to Sunderland, similar kind of game, I suppose, in the last away game, 1-2-0. When you got Arsenal in one of the going days, they're a great side to watch. And I don't think Swansea have got enough nasty players to stop Arsenal having a going day. Yeah, I agree with Lee. I think odds against Arsenal here is a very good bet.
I think I've been saying this for a few weeks, and like I said, I've been getting it wrong, but I think Swansea are about to do a Villa and go on a bit of a stinking run, because like Villa, you know, the stats told us that the run that Villa were on at the start of the season, it just couldn't last. It wasn't true. Now Villa are the only team who average fewer shots per game than Swansea. Swansea are right down on that. The scoring goals, but only because, you know, maybe, you know, Boney's doing well, or they're just, you know, they're being efficient in front of goal. They've also allowed 15 shots on their goal per game. Only Hull, Leicester and Burnley are worse than that. And this one, I mean, this is obvious, but the 33% of their matches are spent in their own half. That's the highest in the league. And 18% is spent in the opposition's half, and that's the lowest.
Okay.
So they're spending more time in their own half than any other team and less time in the opposition's half than any team. The duo fall.
Do you mean third? That doesn't add up, does it?
Well, there's a bit in the middle, isn't there?
Yeah, but do you mean 33%? No. Go on.
A league high, 33% of the matches in their own half.
Okay.
And a league low, 18% of the opposition. That's across the season, obviously. It's not in a game, is it?
Okay.
So it might be in one game. They might have been spent more time in the opposition's half. It just says to me that they're due a poor run, and this could be the start of it. They've got Man City next. Then they've got an easy one against Palace, and they've got QPR and West Ham coming up. So I'm not sure they'll get anything out of the next two games.
Okay, Arsenal 6-5, the unanimous verdict in that one. Let's move on to the Saturday 3 p.m. kickoff, starting with West Ham versus Aston Villa. West Ham 3-4, the draw 12-5. Aston Villa in the betting at 4-1. First of all, Derek, what year is this? Stuart Downing has been called up to the England squad.
Unbelievable.
It is
Stuart
unbelievable.
Downing and Obertan both playing well.
Well, I mean, you know what? Regular listeners of this podcast over the last few years would know what I think of Stuart Downing. Stuart Downing, but B, Sam Allardyce, Fergie's pet hippo. I just can't believe, you know, that this guy has managed to galvanise a performer like Downing into England contention, because for Liverpool, he was absolutely hopeless. He was that. You couldn't use any other word to describe him. And yet now, he's firing. I just don't understand it, what Allardyce is doing. So all credit to Big Sam there. West Ham out at the fourth, aren't they? Or fifth in the table.
Fifth in the league, 17 points. Seven points clear of Villa as well.
Well, yeah. And the way they're playing, you know, you think, well, yeah, they're good things here. But they're odds on. West Ham are odds on. I'm sorry, I cannot bring myself to back them. And you know what, Lee? You know me, Lee, with Aston Villa. Not quite the same this season, but I'm always prepared to back Villa away from home, the way they're set up. Maybe with Benteke, a little bit more ponderous if he's back. But, you know, you've got the Egbon Lahores, the Bymans. I think they're better equipped to win games away from home, Villa. And it was a bit to like about the performance last week in defeat against... Was it against last week? I can't remember now.
Villa.
Tottenham won it, yeah. I thought they were unlucky there.
Yeah, they were a bit.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for Villa. I think 4-1 Villa. My kind of territory, that. I think they're well capable of beating West Ham.
Yeah. That game changed when Benteke got sent off, so he's banned for this one. Which is a major loss for them, isn't it? Because they haven't really got the players to do the job. Agbon Lahore's got pace, but you know, and he scored in the game against Liverpool when they exploited the counter-attack in the... Weimann's the other one, of course, who scored against Stoke. So it's, the goal's going to come from one of those two if they're going to get a goal on the counter against West Ham. West Ham are just... They look solid, don't they? You know, they're not battering teams, obviously. They beat City really well, 2-1. They only drew at Stoke, but were 2-0 down and came back, so they've got spirit as well.
Diafosako's back as well on Saturday.
And I've made more money out of him than anything else this season so far. So it would probably seem daft not to go back in with him again. I think with Sacco and Valencia up front against this Villa team, who are conceding goals for fun, away from home, they've conceded 8. And I see why Derek's going for the 4-1, and it's a good price play. I can't have West Ham, so I'll just... Sacco's now 21-20, where we've been backing him at 15-8 in recent weeks. Do you know what I'm going to do, though? I'm going to go for a bit of a daft one here.
Okay.
11-2 for him to score 2 or more.
Sacco? Okay.
Yep. Straight back in. I don't rate Villa at all, to be honest with you. I think they'll survive, but I think they'll finish 16th, 17th, where they are now. So Sacco to score 2 or more at 11-2.
Next up, Burnley versus Hull. Burnley 8-5. The draw 2-1, and Hull in the betting at 19-10. Burnley rock bottom, Lee. 4 points from 10. And if you think they're going to survive, you've got to be an absolute madman, haven't you?
I don't think they're going to win a game. I don't see them winning a game.
It's impossible to see at the moment, isn't it?
I cannot. You say about City, like, you can't see where they're going to win a game. I literally cannot see where Burnley are going to win a game. Which means they'll win this weekend, Burnley fans.
Goal difference of -14. Coming to this on the back of a 3-0 defeat at the Emirates. They're not even getting away with being plucky this season so far, Lee. They've had they've scored with a lower proportion of their shots than any other team in the Premier League, just 6% so far. They're the 10th side to fail to win any of their opening 10 Premier League matches. And 3 of the previous 9 have survived, believe it or not. I don't think Burnley are going to add to that tally, though.
No, it's a shame for them, but I just really can't see. They can't score enough goals to survive, I don't think. And you look at Hull. I mean, I thought to myself, is this the one? Is this the one where they suddenly can do it? I mean, I think it's, first of all, fairly disrespectful to Hull to have them at a bigger price and the draw at a bigger price than Burnley. What have Burnley done to justify being favourites in this?
Spot on.
I mean, that's crazy, Derek, isn't
it? Spot on. I mean, the thing is, Hull are Hull big enough to lump on. The only thing, they've drawn half of their games, Hull, and Burnley have drawn 4 of their 10. I mean, you know, neither side is big enough for me to tempt me into having a bet on them. I think Hull, if they get a draw, they'll be happy. Burnley will be ecstatic. It's got a nailed on draw for me, this one. Probably 0-0.
That's what I was kind of looking at. Then even that, I was thinking, well, Arsenal, you know, Hull scored two at Arsenal. They scored two at West Brom in the League Cup. They scored two at Newcastle. Scored at Villa. Obviously drew a blank at Liverpool. So I was kind of struggling to see how, you know, what's going to happen in the game. And that's what I ended up thinking, like, you know, Burnley just need points, don't they? They need to not get beat. So you'd imagine Sean Dyche, whose stock is dropping fairly quickly. By the way, we were talking about the next managers to go.
He's not in the right. He's not in the right, in the top, you know, top three in the betting, is he? It's amazing.
How many times have we seen managers bring clubs up and do really well and then be sacked?
Yes.
You know, around just before Christmas, because, and then everyone goes, oh, what a travesty, he's brought them up. Yeah, but he's not doing the job in the Premier League.
Well, you know what, Lee, at the beginning of the season I tipped Dyche for to be the first manager to go because of exactly that. You know, people think, oh, he's done enough, he's got enough goodwill there to last them through, but they haven't. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, he did great getting them up, but that's history. You know, what you're doing now, and he ain't doing it now.
No. So 12-1 to be the next manager to go. It
wouldn't put anybody off that,
no,
would you?
No.
And Hull have had a difficult run of fixtures as well recently. I think that's got to be taken into account here. I think if they'd have had an easier run, they'd have got more points, and then they wouldn't be the price of 19-10 to win this game. It's been a tough little run for Hull recently.
Yeah, it has. I'm going to go for Hull. I just think they'll be able to score more goals than Burnley, and even if Burnley sit back and try and defend, then I think they'll get found out. And if they attack, I think Hull will hit them on the break. They have got some good players in the side, Hull. So I think at 19-10, I think that is it's probably not quite big enough to say it's overpriced, but I think it's a bit big for what they've got. I mean, Abel Hernandez has fitted into life quite well. He's 7-4 to score any time. I mean, one man who is getting rave reviews on East Yorkshire is Mohamed Diame, 5-2 to score any time in this game.
You know, he's a sensational player, Diame. Every time I've looked at him,
I've been thinking, Hull? You can't exactly think, what's he doing there?
Why isn't he? I think when Arsenal interested in him, I think Liverpool showed a glimmer. Mm. He should be playing for one of the big clubs. I think he's a terrific player.
Yeah, so Diame at 5-2 is worth a look, but Hull to win.
And Derek, you're going with a draw.
Well, I am. But one thing I know for certain is that there's no way Burnley should be favourites for this game. And so it's a draw or Hull, and the draw's the bigger price, and these two teams specialise in draws.
What's draw no bet?
I was just thinking that. It's 11-10 Hull draw no bet. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. That does look a very
good bet. The only downside to that is getting your money back if it's a draw.
Well, yeah.
I don't
no.
like that. It doesn't
no,
seem
no.
right as a punter, does it?
I'd rather lose.
Yeah, me too. I would as well.
moment we've all been waiting for now on this edition of the Punt Podcast. Man United versus Crystal Palace. Manchester United 1-3, the draw 19-5, and Crystal Palace in the betting at 9-1. I think here, Derek, we've got two masters of misdirection in Louis van Gaal and Neil Warnock. Both of them seem to talk a very good game, but neither of their teams appear to deliver on the pitch.
Exactly, Louis van Flatface. If he had a British passport, he'd be sacked now, wouldn't he? Instead, you know, he's a foreigner, so he gets a bit more time. But if he was a Paul Lambert or David Moyes, you know, his passport photo is actually fatter than his face.
Do you know what? It looks like he's always got a balaclava on.
Yeah.
You know, or tights over his head, you know, when they do a robbery. He always looks like he's got tights over
tights
his face.
But he looks on his way to rob a bank, so yeah. Oh, dear me.
And Neil Warnock's an absolute beauty, isn't he, as well? So I mean, I hope they don't have a beauty off before the start of this one.
Well, yeah, you look at Man United and how have they fallen so far, so quickly, you know, after spending all that money as well? I mean, it's fantastic to see, don't get me wrong, but why are you, it doesn't seem as though United fans are getting hot under the collar over it either. I don't see any sort of any protest. It's just sort of like, well, this was expected, we might get in the top four. I don't understand it. I mean, long may it continue, by the way, but you can't back Palace in this game, can you? I mean, a couple of seasons ago, Palace would have been about, what, 14-1, 16-1 for something like this?
Yeah.
Now they're 15-2. I mean, they're all the same price.
They've got 9-1 now, Derek, actually.
Oh, I'll be 9-1, yeah.
It's creeping up.
Out. I still couldn't back them because, all right, you know, United's back four is an absolute joke. I mean, he spent 100. How much did he spend over the summer?
Spent nearly 200 million, hasn't he?
And the back four finishing against City was Valencia, McNair, Shaw and Carrick. That was the back four. Well done, Louis van Gaal. I mean, it's an absolute joke. But you look at them going forward, and you look at the way they performed against City when they were 1-0 down with 10 men, and you know that, sadly, you know that there's still something there. I think they were absolute nailed on certainties to win this game.
Mm.
Okay, 1-3 they are to win it. What do you make to Robin van Persie's performances this season so far? I think he's been he's left his form at the World Cup, hasn't he?
Well, he's no better last season either, was he? Yeah, I said a few seasons. You know, when Man United signed him, I was laughed at by Messrs. Savage and Atkinson. I said that was Fergie's swan song. That, but he's buying Robin van Persie, a very un-Fergie-like signing, buying someone at that age.
Yeah.
He wanted to bow out. He'll bow out at the end of the season because he's bought van Persie to win him the league, and that's exactly what happened. And van Persie seems to have bowed out too. He's passed it. Pure and simply, he's passed it.
There was that equaliser against Chelsea and the what effectively was the winner against West Ham.
Come on, we could have scored them. Come on.
Speaking about Big Run before, I spoke to him. I just kind of answered your question. He said that when he speaks, he's doing a lot of the MUTV games this year, and he said when he speaks to fans and people in the club, they're not expecting much this year. They're just happy to watch. Because he said you go to a game and you haven't got a clue what's going to happen. It could be anything. So he said the fans are kind of enjoying the fact that they're going to see goals, they're going to see attractive attacking play, and they don't quite know what the result's going to be. I think they've kind of almost signed this season off.
That's sad, though, isn't it? That's sad for Manchester United fans when they've dominated for so long, just to be happy to go there and watch football.
I think they're going to have an entertaining next few years, aren't they, if they keep spending the way they are. Ron also said that he looks at the results and says, I'd have had that, because he's not doing this anymore. I'd have had that. I didn't realise there were so many 2-0s this season, to be fair. I'm really against Crystal Palace all season. By the way, that noise isn't me grumbling or Dave grumbling.
No, if you can hear that, we've got some drilling going on in here.
They scored 2 at West Brom, they scored 3 at Everton, they scored 3 at Newcastle, Crystal Palace. They are capable of scoring goals on the break because they have got more pace in the side this season. I think Palace will score. You know, Man United have conceded to West Ham, to Everton, of course. They were beaten by Swansea. So, you know, the 4-0 against QPR is their only clean sheet this season. So I'm gonna think Palace can score a goal, but I'm going to say Man United do win. I think there's a huge difference between 1-3 and 15-8.
Yes.
For Palace to effectively score one goal in the match. Man United to win and both teams to score in the game.
Southampton Leicester next. Southampton 4-9. The draw is 3-1. Leicester in the betting at 7-1. We mention this every week on the podcast, Lee, but Southampton conceded just 5 league goals this season, fewer than any other team in England's top 4 divisions. I'm going to continue doing that stat as long as they continue to keep clean sheets.
Don't have to do any prep then, does it?
Just clip it up from last week. There's going to be some regression at some point for Southampton, surely. 4-9, Southampton? 4-9?
It is well short, but they are playing Leicester, who've really started to struggle.
They're going to come good at some point, though, under Nigel Pearson, aren't they, Lee? As you say every week.
Yeah. That's my line, isn't it? The thing is, I really like Leicester, and I like them at the start of the season, but they're really struggling, obviously, struggling for goals. You know, we talk about those shots on goal stats, and they're right near the bottom of that as well. Without Leonardo Ochoa scoring goals for them, and he was only scoring off one shot a game, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So now they're not having many shots on target. Who's going to score the goals for them? It isn't David Nugent, because we've talked before about his record in the Premier League. So, you know, just pure and simple, they can't score enough goals at the moment. And they aren't scoring any. You know, the win against Stoke, the 1-0 win against Stoke, is the only goal they've scored away from home this season. Haven't been tonked by anyone. I think he'll go back to basics here. And I think because Southampton are playing a lesser team, I'm not sure they'll be 100% at it. I think they'll win the game. I'm going to go for half-time draw. I think Leicester can hold them, and Southampton to win it in the end, just through the sheer quality of the side that Southampton have got. I think it's around 130 mark, but I'll double-check that because I forgot to write it down.
Southampton to win to nil, by the way, is in the betting at 13-10 here. That will attract a few people. Derek,
it's 16-5.
16-5 draw Southampton.
They did that at Chelsea. I think that's how they'll approach the game, because this is a good side.
Almost the worst thing that could have happened to Leicester beating Manchester United, because they've only picked up 1 point in the last 5 since then, Derek.
Exactly. The only team they've scored against is Burnley since that 5 against Man United. You know, I can't back... I can't understand what Southampton are doing this season. It's ridiculous. It is. I look at the team, I look at the squad, and you think, well, that manager must be a miracle worker. But you have to say, they haven't really played anybody, have they? You know, but
They've had a really easy start to the season.
Yeah, and again, it continues here with Leicester. You see, I can't bring myself to back Southampton at 4-9, because I agree with you, Dave. Sooner or later, you know, this run is going to stop because they ain't good enough to continue it. Whether it stops against Leicester, I don't know. But I can't bring myself back in Southampton that long odds on. What I will say is that what you said before, you can see if they are going to win, I don't mind backing them at odds against. And they're odds against to win without conceding. And when you consider Leicester's troubles in front of goal and the fact that you've got to think Nigel Pearson will think, we've got to stop the rot here. We need a draw at least. He'll probably go there and try and shut up shop. Mm. And yeah, I'm not sure whether too many teams have gone to Southampton and done that. Southampton to win without conceding 13-10. That looks the one for me.
Tottenham Stoke next. Tottenham 7-10 to win this match. The draw is 12-5. Stoke in the betting at 9-2. Tottenham played Thursday night at Asteras Tripolis and 1-2-1. They were so open at that. I watched that match, Derek. So open at the bat when leading 2-0. They lost at home against Newcastle and they've been dismantled on the road by Man City this season as well. But back at White Hart Lane here, 7-10 Tottenham to win the game. The draw 12-5, Stoke 9-2.
They've lost 3 of 5 at White Hart Lane. It's hardly a fortress for them. I mean, every time Tottenham are always odds on at home, it seems. And every time I watch them, I wonder why I watch them. I mean, they're absolutely, they've gone worse under Pochettino and Southampton have gone better without him. I mean, you know, that's an equation that results in the sacking, yet he's like 20-1. I think they're so beatable at the moment, Spurs. It's beyond belief. And I think Stoke at 9-2. Well, I mean, you know, I'll probably describe many bets of the bet of the year, but this one's different. This one's got a chance of winning. And I think 9-2 Stoke. I'll be on it all day long and then all night as well.
Stoke 9-2 for Derek. I do like this one. They're only a couple of points behind Spurs in the league. They let that two-goal lead slip against West Ham, but they did dominate large portions of that game, and it's worth remembering they were 2-0 up and dominant in that match as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and they really like playing the counter-attacking style now, Stoke, don't they? And I think the fact that they'll let Tottenham come onto them, Tottenham will think, oh, this is all right, we'll just knock the ball around, and they won't really exert any pressure. You know, Stoke are, you know, obviously a strong team. They don't mind mixing it a little bit. That's not the kind of team Tottenham like playing, of course, because they are so weak. In the middle, you know, they're just a pretty sign, aren't they? Did you see that thing, Derek? We talked about it the other week when the Roy Keane book, one of the many great things that he said in the book, when they were playing Tottenham and he was thinking, oh, I hope the boss don't come in and give it all that about Tottenham. It's just Tottenham. And then Fergie came in and said, lads, it's Tottenham. And that was his team talk. That's
tremendous.
It. That's all you need, isn't it? That's all you need on this podcast every week. Lads, it's Tottenham. And that, you know, go away.
It's
but
true.
It is true. But I mean, I'm not sure Stoke have got enough in them to win it. What I'd probably play a little bit safer than Derek and just go for the draw in Stoke or Stoke plus a goal. It's just a shade of odds against.
It's 23-20.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you're getting two results on your side for me there. And I think, you know, Harry Kane has given Tottenham a little bit of a lift, and the players are saying when he comes on the pitch they're more invigorated. So I think if he starts, then
he didn't start though, did he? Everyone was saying he's bound to start after the last Europa League match, and then he didn't start in the Premier League.
He won't start in this, really, because if he's going, he rests Adebayo. You know, Adebayo hasn't travelled in any of their last 6 Europa League trips. And Kane has played, and you know, Adebayo's always had the nod in the Premier League. That will continue apparently until Adebayo finds his passport. I think he'll be playing I think Kane will be on the bench. It's just, you know, shame for him, but the manager obviously doesn't trust him. But it doesn't matter who they play, they're going to lose this.
Okay, yeah. I'm a bit more weaker than Derek, but I wouldn't put anyone off the Stoke win.
Finish off with Sunderland versus Everton, 1:30 p.m. on Sunday. Sunderland 14-5, the draw 11-5. Everton odds against now, having been odds on at 21-20. Lee, Sunderland arrested that poor run with a 3-1 win at Crystal Palace on Monday evening. Still 15th in the league though, and Everton look like they're starting to hit their straps now.
Yeah, I watched the that Monday night game. I usually don't watch the match and just watch the post-match analysis from Neville and Carragher. But for some reason, I watched this one. I won't be doing it again. I've learned my lesson. Poor teams. But you know, one man who wasn't poor was Stephen Fletcher. You know, looked like he's getting back into his stride. You know, he's a good finisher, and when he's given the service, I think he can score goals. Yeah, I mean, I think Sunderland will be down amongst the dead men most of the season, to be honest with you. You know, you don't lose 8-0 like that and without some serious problems. And they did look a lot better against Palace, but then I think it's more to do with Palace's inefficiencies rather than Sunderland's Sunderland being great. Everton, I thought they'd... I mean, I thought they'd beat Swansea. I really did. I was really surprised. Obviously, played against Lille, didn't they, in the Europa League as well in midweek. So there might be some tired legs for Everton. I'm not quite sure where Everton are. I wouldn't be surprised if they went to Sunderland and battered them. I'd like to see Lukaku start in this game, though, because I backed them against Swansea with the idea that he'd start excuse me, and score. He didn't start, so you know, I think I'd wait for team news. If Lukaku starts this game, I think they beat Sunderland. But I've lost a bit of confidence with Everton just because of what they did against Swansea. It was my nap of the week, wasn't it, of course?
It was, of course.
And when you lose a bet like that, when you're so confident, it does rattle your confidence a little bit. So, but, 21-20 odds. Again, odds against for a team who are against a team who are pretty poor in Sunderland. Yeah. I'm struggling a bit with this one. But if
no, it's about, starts, no, it's a bit like Arsenal, isn't it, in the game? Yeah. You know, similar price to Arsenal. And, I think they're a good bet. I think Everton are here as well. You're right, they are. You haven't got a handle on Everton right now. You don't know whether they're a team that's going to really challenge for the top four, just waiting to hit their stride, or whether where they are now is about where they're going to finish. You're right, but I know what Sunderland are.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah,
but they are. I mean, you're right about that 8-0. When you don't lose 8-0 in the opening part of the season against a team like Southampton as well, unless there are serious problems behind the scenes. I know they bounced back a little bit since then. But it's a poor Sunderland team, and I think Everton are good things here.
Everton 21-20 to win away at the Stadium of Light on Sunday afternoon. Naps now then, chaps.
Oh, you won yours, didn't you? Did you win
no,
yours
I didn't.
Yours?
Mine was appalling last week. It was. Should we just not talk about last week?
Let's
now?
Not do that. Yeah.
Let's look ahead to this week and. I better go last because I always get accused by Lee of skullduggery and
well,
stealing other
listens.
People's...
He listens for 45 minutes and then just nicks the best one.
I generally do that, Derek. So I'll let you go first.
Right, I'm going to go for Stoke to win at Tottenham. I think Tottenham are very, very beatable at the moment. And that price was an eye-opener for me. I didn't expect Stoke to be that long.
No, I like that bet a lot. I think Stoke plus one as well at 23-20 is good. So Stoke at 9-2 for Derek. I'll go next because I don't want this one getting stolen. I'll go Hull draw no bet at 11-10 away at Burnley. A little bit of a chickens bet, but that's what I am. So I'll go 11-10 Hull draw no bet.
Yep, that was going to be. So you've nicked that, haven't you?
No, I've not nicked that.
I wasn't going to go for that. I'm going to go for Chelsea to win at Liverpool at 13-10. I think they should have beaten when I backed them, 8-5.
So Derek comes back on the punt and you stick the boot into his team.
No, he's dead right. There's actually some very good bets this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of odds against prices that you wouldn't expect. Yeah. The other one I liked was in the Sunderland Everton game. I was going to go over 3.5, but I'm going to leave Everton alone until I know what they're doing. So yeah, I know what Chelsea are about, and I think I know what Liverpool are about at the minute. And 13-10, Chelsea to win.
You wouldn't believe it, Derek, but we've got to week 11 in the Premier League season without landing a nap treble as of yet.
I can well believe that after that effort.
Yeah. The closest we came was when I backed Chelsea to beat Man U, and that would land the treble.
Oh, that is
got chinned late on, didn't it? So yeah,
If Stoke win, will that put me in a bit ahead of Robbie and Ron?
Yeah, but Ron's still down from two seasons ago, I think.
He had a shocker, didn't he?
Did he ever win in that last year?
No, I don't think he did.
How did he go through the entire even by the process of putting a pin in a piece of paper?
He was putting up player to score first and team to win 4-0 every single week.
It was ludicrous,
though.
But yeah.
This treble, by the way, this is the one, listeners. Definitely. 20 got every chance. 25.56-1. Stoke to win at Tottenham 9-2. Hull draw no bet away at Burnley at 11-10, and Chelsea to beat Liverpool at 13-10, 25.56-1.
That is, but you know what? You know when you see a 25-1 poke, you know it's got no hope. I can't see that bet losing.
Oh, I think it's going to win, Derek. Definitely. I'm confident.
The confidence of a punter.
Confident.
Pre-match.
Thank you for your company, Derek.
Pleasure.
It's been a pleasure as per usual, and Lee. It's been what it is.
Yep.
Thank you for your company as well. Thanks to the listeners for listening. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com as well. And we'll be back again next week. Speak soon.
Cheers, lads.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.